Hey everybody, it's Michelle. I am here to talk to you about our Patreon page. This is the page that you can go to help support our podcast with a monthly donation. When you commit to supporting us, you can get additional bonus content such as extra podcasts, our favorite playlists, our show notes, and eventually we would like to have merchandise to sell like t-shirts and baseball caps, and we would let you have first dibs at those. Of course, because we are coffee moms, we are offering membership levels that are as follows: the coffee membership, the cold brew membership, or the espresso membership. Now, no pressure whatsoever, but if you do love our podcast and you would like to help support it, you can go to patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. That is Patreon, patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. There you can choose a membership level that works for you. Melissa and I want to thank you in advance for your love and your support.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. Yay. All right, guys. We're going to get a little heavy today.
Serious moments.
We're going to talk about September 11th.
Yeah.
But first,
mom moment of the week.
We're going to need it. Michelle, you can go first.
Yay.
I tried to have a conversation with you and you're like, I don't want to ruin my mom moment.
I like shut her down. I'm like, if I tell you, then it'll ruin my mom moment and it won't be like fresh for you. So yesterday we went to the church to help I went to the church to help the church secretary make badges for an event that is coming up, and that's kind of my thing. I love it. I consider it a craft. So
Michelle went to church to help with something, period.
I am making this longer than it needs to be, right? So anyway, she went off and I was working on it. Well, because the girl that was watching the kids needed a break when she left, Joe came into the office and sat with me. Well, he chose to sit over by me. I stood up to go get some supplies I needed. I came back and I sat down and he was actually kneeling on the floor next to where I was. Mm-hmm. He stood up and he goes, "Oh my God, you smell like butt." And like, are you serious? Because this is like one of my paranoia things.
Right.
Like, do I stink? Do I stink? I took a shower this morning. Do I really stink? Do I smell like butt? And then he's like, yeah, you smell like butt. Get away from me.
And you're like, Rochelle!
Right. And so I was like, and then when Rochelle did come back, the church was already filling with people. So that's not like something you want to ask in front of everyone. Like, hey, can you sniff me? Do I smell like butt? I mean.
Have you farted recently?
No, I did not. So I was just like, Joe, come on. Mommy's worried that she stinks. Do I really smell like the butt? And he's like,
are you kidding me?
And so, like, I don't know if he's just catching on to how his dad messes with people or if it's genetic, like it's in the blood, but like his dad will do this type of stuff to me. And I'm like, look, I don't need two of you playing mind games with me. Either I stink or I don't. And so, like, he wouldn't commit one way or the other.
Oh, my goodness.
So, in response to why didn't I want to come over and sit next to you in the meeting, it's because I was actually paranoid that I smelled like butt.
You did not. Why didn't you just ask me?
Well, because at first when I saw you, there was another person in the room. And then when I came and sat next to you, there was another person. Not that I feel like any of those two would judge me. It's just, I don't know. I'm not that comfortable with them yet. Where if I was just in the room, like here with you, I'd be like, hey, when I walked past you, did I smell like butt?
And I would have said, I don't know. Did you fart recently?
So that's my mom moment of the week. My kid is a jerk. And it like totally messed with me yesterday. Like had me thinking I could not stop and talk to anyone. I mean, even when you walked into that room, how far away was I from everybody else in the room?
Yeah.
I was super paranoid.
I was like, that makes a lot more sense though. That also makes sense why she left without saying goodbye to me. And like she wasn't like very like social at the end.
Right. Like I
could seriously, you could have texted me and been like, Melissa, do I smell?
I probably could have. I didn't.
That would have been like in general or right now.
Which would have like made it even worse for me. She would have just encouraged my son. She would have made it worse. It would have been funny though.
Oh, it's kind of funny. I think it's funny that he like knows you well enough that he like knows when you're insecure about something and he's just like, I mean
yeah, right. That he was just like, well, I'm like, yes or no? Come on, these are important questions. I'm about to be in a room full of people. Stop. You're four. Stop. We have a long, many years of you living with me.
Oh my gosh.
So tell me about your mama moment of the week.
So my mama moment of the week is John has begun to get allowance for the chores that he's doing.
Okay.
Woohoo.
Yay.
He did not. Okay. So he didn't do chores 3 days this week.
Okay.
Okay. And I told him, you're not going to get your allowance because you didn't do chores. And he goes, bah. I'm saving up the chores so I can do them all in one day. John Michael. Cleaning up the living room.
Has to
be done every day. That's right. A chore. And he's like, well, that's silly. Why would I not just do it one day?
I don't disagree with that.
And all I was thinking was like, this is my daily struggle.
Right. I have to clean up after you every day.
Every day. You know what would help is if you cleaned up every day and maybe you'd stop making such a mess. Right. So I was like, that's not how life works, buddy. You don't get to save up your cleaning for one day. You have to do it every day. He's just like, that's dumb.
Right.
I don't disagree with you.
Welcome to adult life. This is what it will be like when you have to work.
Or maybe you could just save up while you're working for one day.
I mean, that I could do. I could do a couple 24-hour periods and just be done with it. So,
two 24-hour periods, just work a 48-hour shift.
And just then go straight on.
Yeah.
I mean, soda it out and then I get to sleep for 2 days and have 3 days to do what I want.
Right.
A little bit unrealistic.
A little bit. But yeah, so yesterday his dad, because I told him, I was like, okay, well, so when I go to work tomorrow, I expect you to do a load of the dishes. Because up until this point, we've just like taught him that how to empty the dishwasher. But I'm like, okay, well, you're getting older so you can learn how to load the dishwasher, like come on man. Listen, this is all working out very well for me. I'm enjoying
less work, right?
I don't even feel a little bit bad about it. And he apparently, his dad was like teaching him how to like load the dishwasher. And he's like, this is gross. And Mike was like, well, if you rinsed off your dishes, it wouldn't be this way. So last night after dinner, John was like, everybody needs to rinse off their dishes.
I don't disagree with him on that either. One of the reasons why I hate doing dishes is because my husband doesn't rinse out the dishes. And he also throws like his dirty paper towels that he uses in there. Water bottles, cans, anything gets thrown in there. And I just find all of that
gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So yeah, my mom moment this week is like, I'm teaching him the important lessons.
The hard lessons. I mean, this is the life sucks lesson.
Nobody likes doing dishes.
Nope.
I mean, maybe there's people out there who like doing the dishes. But I am not one of them. So let's get into our topic for the week.
Yeah. So I was thinking that we would just kind of, because as Melissa likes to point out, there's an, well, actually, I pointed it out first. She just calls me old.
You pointed it out twice today.
I have. So, but there's a gap between our ages. So I just thought it would be interesting to discuss like our different viewpoints and where we were on the day of September 11th. So I will start. And I will tell you that that was probably one of the hardest days of my life, because at that time my dad was still enrolled as an Army reservist. And so all I could think of was my dad is gonna have to go to war. But before I knew about it, I was actually teaching at the private school that our church had. And I'm not a morning radio person. Mm-hmm. And so we had listened to a CD. I picked up my coworker on the way to work every day. And so we had just listened to what music I had in my CD player. And so there was no inkling as to what was going on. We were sitting there at my desk talking and chatting before the kids came in. And the school principal walked in and she's like, did you hear what happened? And we're like, no. And so like, even without saying anything, she walked over and turned on the radio and she's like, and she started to explain. So to kind of to update us. And at that point, only the one plane had flown into one of the Twin Towers.
And they didn't know what it was at that point. Right. They were just like, maybe it was there an was accident.
Confusion.
Like,
and
how did
people were trying to get out of the buildings and or out of the building.
They weren't sure if they were going to evacuate the second tower yet or not, because it just looked to be a freak accident.
And so it was very hard for me because I'm an emotional person anyway. I've just, in the last few weeks, I've decided I'm going to accept that. I'm not going to fight it anymore. And so immediately my mind went to all the people that knew they were going to die and there was nothing that they could do. And I mean, my heart ached for that. And then I started thinking about what happens, what's really happening, you know, is something going to happen here, is, you know, what, and so
in Beloit, Wisconsin.
And so, well, you know, it's just like, at that point I was starting to get overwhelmed with everything. It was very hard for me to even just focus once the kids got into the classroom. Not that I had to teach each one of them individually because of the curriculum that we used, but just being able to answer their questions and things like that. And then when the second plane flew into the second tower, and the principal came in and whispered to me, I like started to like slowly, because we had more information at that point. We knew there were two more planes that were unaccounted for. And I mean, I literally just started slowly spiraling, because then at that point we knew it was that the planes were hijacked and we're looking at somebody from another country attacking us. And I mean, I already knew this is gonna mean war in some way, shape, or form. And so then I was starting to think about my dad, and I was gonna lose him. And I mean, when she came in and told me about the second plane, I stood up and walked away. I didn't say a word. I went into the office and I called my dad, and just, I'm like, tell me what you know. What's in his, my dad. He's like, honey, I'm in the part of the army that I will never see first line combat. I just push buttons.
Calm down, Michelle. Right. I love how he was just like, Michelle.
Right.
You're being dramatic. Right.
I mean, but that still did not give me any comfort, because I'm sure that he probably overplayed. He downplayed like what his role would be if he had to go. So, but then we, you know, once he got me calmed down, which was good. He needed to do that. My dad knows me. Once he got me calmed down and I got back into the classroom, then we found out about the Pentagon. And I was, you know, the kids, I think what bothered me was that the kids, even though they knew what was going on, they seemed to show no understanding of like the severity of what was happening. I'm like, I don't think you understand thousands. And at that point, the towers had come down. I'm like, thousands upon thousands of people are dead now. And they're like, oh, okay. And so I think that just kind of escalated like my angst about what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really hard, and I was in my 20s. So, you know, you're still learning about, I don't know, I still don't have control over my emotions, so I won't even pretend. But I would definitely do the day over better if I were there now in that situation. But I was like, I think you kids need to know that this could be more war. This could mean that people die. This could mean that some of you get enlisted because you're close to graduating and being out of school. I mean, there's serious ramifications to all of this, and people lost lives. There are people who are trying to get a hold of their loved ones that are stressed out. And I'm like, they're, you know, I'm trying to express like all the thoughts that are in my head. Like, why are you guys not upset? Like I am, this is a terrible day. And I don't know. So it was just,
nobody came in and was like, hey, Michelle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't that long of a rant. It was just like, hey, I need you guys to understand this is not just a flip thing that's happening. This is a big, major event in the history of the United States at this point. And so, but no, it was when the day got over, when the school day was over, I was just ready to crawl into a hole. It impacted me so bad. They had the news on a TV out in the hallway so that during the breaks, the kids could watch it because they considered it to be a historical moment.
Yeah.
And I'm just like sitting over here like, I can't watch that. I'm traumatized. Even to this day, I can't watch like the news footage of that stuff. It traumatized me. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I was with that day. And it still makes my heart ache to this day, just that somebody hated the idea of our country so much that they were willing to just risk it all and take the lives of innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also proud too, because there were people on that third plane that knew what was going on, and they rallied to or not the third,
the fourth plane.
There was actually four planes. Yeah. So they rallied to fight back against
what was going on,
an evil plan to hurt and destroy people. And so, I mean, they sacrificed their life. I'm not going to cry. So it's just, there's a lot of emotions for me when it comes to that day, because there's so much people, innocent people lost their lives. And then there were people who risked, I mean, they knew they were going to die anyway. Right.
Yeah.
But they went to a point of making sure that other people didn't die with them. And
yeah,
I think that's an amazing thing for anybody to do.
It's very brave.
Yes.
Very so, brave and selfless thing.
But so let's hear from you, Melissa, but let's just take a real quick short break so I can wipe my eyes real quick. All right. So we're back. So Melissa, tell me about what September 11th, 2001 looked like for you.
So I was in sixth grade and I was homeschooled at this time. And so we were home. My mom had gone to a doctor's appointment. And she came home and it was me, my brother, and my dad. My older brother was his last year of high school, so he was at school. And she was like, "Have you guys watched the news?" And we were all just like,
right.
No.
We're in our pajamas still.
Like, we're like, I think I was like upstairs watching a movie. My dad was like on the computer. Like was like 2001. Nobody had like smartphones or whatever. And so she turned on the TV, and at this point, the second plane had already flown in to the building. And she said when she was at the doctor's office, she was watching the news in the lobby of the first plane hitting. And at that point, there was confusion, whatever, like everybody was just kind of. And she said as she was watching the footage, she saw live the second plane fly into the second tower. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, before that happened, like everybody, and I mean, this is my mother like telling me, mm-hmm. you know, before that happened, everybody, you could kind of think that maybe it was a mistake, maybe it was an accident,
like there was an explosion, yeah, or something.
Maybe
yeah.
somebody like fell asleep. I don't know, like what ridiculous logical thing that you need to
something
tell yourself.
Malfunctioned on the yes. plane, or yes. yep.
Even during this time when people were just like, I don't know, I think it's an attack, and people were like, well, there's no way to know for sure. Well, when the second plane hit, we all knew,
right?
So I was 11 years old, and it was, my mom left the doctor's office. I think everybody at the doctor's office left the doctor's office. She came home. She stayed with my other brother and I, and my dad went to go get my brother from school. I think that day almost all the parents went and got their kids from school, which is why I'm shocked at your school that nobody came and picked up their kids. Which I mean, to each his own. But it was one of those things where it was like, we sat in our living room watching it all day long. Mm-hmm. And we were together, and there was just a lot of emotion, and there was a lot of like, there was a lot of love that we could feel in the room, and there was a lot of dread, because the thing is, I mean, the way that I always think of September 11th is it was the first time in my life that I realized that sometimes life has things outside of my control and there's nothing that I can do about it. Like somebody attacked us and I was scared because somebody attacked us. But the thing is like, how safe are we? How safe are we? How safe is my family? How safe are my brothers? My one brother is in his senior year of high school. So like people were talking about, like, are we going to have to draft people? Are we going to go to war? Like all this stuff. We lived across the street from a gas station and there were cars lined up
getting gas
for miles, miles. Like I'm not exaggerating, miles getting gas. I mean, gas trucks were trying to pull into gas stations and people were like blocking the gas trucks. Like it was like people went to grocery stores and they got
cleared
out. They cleared out the shelves and there was just terror and everybody was scared. And I was 11, so I was like still a child, but I wasn't like a little kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And the terror of the grown-ups around me was terrifying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand, like, as a parent now, if something like this happened, like, all I'm thinking of is my kids.
Right.
How am I going to keep them safe?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm telling you, when COVID hit and they were going to issue martial law, I was telling Mike, I was like, you better go get a gun. Like, you better like get it together that you're gonna like protect this house.
Right.
Like I am not like, yep. No, if they're issuing martial law, like there is nobody coming over here, like mm-hmm. trying to take my food, trying to take my kid. No. So like I can imagine on September 11th when, you know, as a parent, there's terror
right.
because you can't protect your kids.
You don't,
you
know
can't
what
even
else.
Protect yourself.
You don't know what else is going to happen.
What else is going to happen?
I mean,
what else is coming?
What is out there that the media, the government doesn't know about or isn't telling us about?
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually ended up, our church had a church-wide prayer meeting.
That night.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, we live 45 minutes away from the church. And my parents were like, I don't know if we want to go that far away from home. Like, we don't know what's going to happen.
Get stuck in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. We don't know. Because I'm telling you, at that time, this was my impression, people were going crazy.
Well,
there was pandemonium, panic. Like, people were just, you didn't know what was going to happen. Because it was almost like the day it happened, it was like every man for themselves.
Right. Well, like when, I mean, we saw it again with the pandemic. When
take the toilet paper.
Right. Just, it wasn't every man for himself. I mean, older people and people with kids couldn't get into the store fast enough to buy out or to buy the like disinfectant,
the water,
toilet paper, water, essentials that would be needed to take care of and supply.
And then you have people hoarding
family.
Diapers, even though they didn't even have kids and
just
ridiculous
just like,
things like that.
And, I mean, some of it was people trying to then mark up and make a sale off of people who were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was the case in 2001. I think everyone all around
was terrified. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was the same thing. Our church did the church prayer but you're right. People were scared. And like you said, you can't control it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I was 11. I guess the argument can be made about like whether I probably should have been watching the TV all day. But I feel like when anything like crazy like that happens, like, I mean, when JFK was assassinated, like, they were showing it in schools
mm-hmm.
because like this monumental thing just happened.
In the public school system, I know for sure in the Beloit high schools, they were showing it in the classroom.
Yeah. I think when the towers fell, and you saw just the dust like go out and like you're watching live TV and you're watching bodies fall out of the buildings. And it was definitely like a horrible thing to watch, a horrible thing to see. It was horrible.
It's just images that will never be erased never. From my mind.
Never. And the thing is, I mean, here's the thing that I really wanted to say. When you said you wanted to talk about this, I think that, you know, where we were, what we were doing, those sorts of things, I think that everybody has a story of where they were September 11th happened. But I feel like sometimes as a country, it would almost be better for us to go back to September 12th.
And remember
how America was on September 12th. Because at that time, like, we were Americans. We were unified. We were together. We cared. Like, September 11th was horrible.
September 12th.
But September 12th, everybody rallied. Everybody was strong. Everybody was willing to, like, help their elderly neighbor, you know, help, you know, we were willing to open doors for people. We were willing to, and I look at the way that we are now, and we're so separated. Like, being American is like the 15th thing on the list of what we are. And that's fine. I mean, you do you, whatever. But the thing is there was so much fear on September 11th, but on September 12th, there was just a sense of unity and everybody just coming together and being like, we're going to get through this. We're going to do it together.
The fear didn't disappear.
No.
The fear was still there, but it was link arms with me and we're going to make it through.
Exactly. Like, and it was just, I mean, there were volunteer firefighters and police officers that were on site doing things. There were people in these places that were, you know, collecting food for families, collecting clothes for families, you know, for weeks and weeks. There was a great depiction of just how people rallied together to try and help each other. And I honestly think that maybe it was the age that I was and I didn't truly understand what was going on, but I remember that more than September 11th, because September 11th was horrible and it was terrifying. But it's like, I feel like after that, there was just so much unity.
I don't disagree with you.
And when I look at when I look at us now, I'm just like, okay. Like, right. I don't know what's...
It's opposite spectrums.
Exactly.
Right? Opposite ends of the spectrum. I don't disagree with... I agree with you 110% that we should reflect back on that and see how we came together. And I do think that there were people in the pandemic that came out and they let their light shine.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a whole lot of selfishness and greediness. And imagine if that had happened September 12th.
Right.
Just
think of the dynamic of the country. And the thing is like, I'm not talking about like politically, like blah, blah, government conspiracy theory. We can go into 47 things. I don't want
to, we
talk
would
about.
Need to get Mike for this.
Yeah.
Him and I would have a conversation about it.
Mike and Michelle would have a fantastic conversation about it. I don't want to. But it's kind of heartbreaking to me that I feel like I'm raising my kids almost in a different country than I was raised in. And the thing is like, maybe it's because this is like a virus that we're dealing with, but I feel like that the fear and the uncertainty and everything that happened with COVID was mirrored a lot of the way that I felt, at least me, the way that I felt during September 11th.
The fear. Yeah.
And it was, guys, we need to do better is really what it comes down to. It was disappointing. And maybe it's because, like, as a millennial, we have gone through multiple tragic things that are like new And part of that's just because the media has gotten so big over this time. But I mean, like, I was in third grade when Columbine happened. Like, I remember, you know, and now school shootings have just become like
a norm.
Normal. You know, I was 11. I was in sixth grade when September 11th happened. You know, we had COVID. We had, I mean, there's just been like all these things that have happened when I've gone from, you know, 10 to 30. A lot has happened in 20 years. Like, absolutely. But I don't know. Not that I look back on September 11th with like fond memories, because I don't. Mm-mm. But I look back on September 12th and I just.
You feel we could be a better nation.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I completely agree. It hurt my heart to see the people that saw greed above helping people that mm-hmm. may not have access to the stuff that they could use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was our nation.
Yeah. And I feel like back then it was just, I mean, you stopped to say hi to people that you had never spoken to before, because it was like, we were all in this together.
Yeah.
Like, September 11th affected each and every one of us the same way. And I mean, I that might sound insensitive to the people who lost loved ones and, you know, whose family members went off to fight wars. Like, I didn't have any of that.
The fear and the uncertainty was the same.
Was the same. And I just, there was just unity it went on for years. I feel like people were just proud to be our country. We were proud to be together. We were just proud. And I understand, like, there have been things that have happened that have made people not proud to feel to be American. And I get that. And I'm not saying, but the thing is like, we all are still neighbors. We all are still together. And I think that when I look back on September 11th, it's both the most like heartbreaking and terrifying thing that I probably am ever going to experience in my life. But it was also the most hope I think that I'll probably ever feel in my life. And I just didn't have, I don't know. There's so much good mixed with bad with September 11th for me. And like I said, I mean, I was 11.
Right.
So like my situation was completely different. Like I knew at 11, like my brothers both they were never going to be enlisted because they both were. I knew at the time. I think it's because they both had like ADD or ADHD mm-hmm. or whatever. So they were never going to be drafted because having that. I don't know if that's true. I thought that at 11. Or maybe my one brother couldn't go and my other one had brain surgery when he was younger, so he couldn't go because of that. I don't know. So I had no fear that my family was going to get drafted or torn away. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure if one of my brothers was like in the military like your dad was, I would have felt differently. Mm-hmm. It would have felt a lot more personal to me. But the thing is like the terror and the like the planes didn't hit anywhere near us. Mm-hmm. You know, the towers didn't fall anywhere near us. But it was felt across the world mm-hmm. what happened.
Nope.
And I don't know.
I agree with you, and I'm going to read something that I wrote on Memorial Day, because I do feel like, I mean, I've heard it over and over again in the last year of people that I'm so disappointed in my country and but I struggle with that thought because you can't go to another country and have what we have.
Yeah.
Not one country can you go to that country. Does America have a lot of problems? Yes. We're not perfect by any means. But this is what I said. Our country is not perfect. Our leaders are not perfect. Our neighbors are not perfect. And we are not perfect. But I am so thankful to live in a land that is still free. And that's why I love America is, yes, things have changed. Things don't look the same. All the people that hate the term new normal, I'm sorry, but every time a big event happens, there's a new normal. After September 12th, 2001, there was a new normal.
Right.
There's always going to be a new normal. So I know some people hate that and that the media has overused it, but there's always going to be a new normal. There's going to be changes. Things are going to be adjusted because our world changes, but that doesn't mean that I love my country any less. It doesn't mean that I think that my city is a terrible, my village is a terrible place. I don't think my neighbors are bad people because they may disagree with me. I love my country and I love what I've been given every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to touch on that because you mentioned that. Rabbit trail.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that everybody, like I said, I feel like there are things that people remember. Like, I mean, when the Challenger blew up, I know that mm-hmm. some people were in school when that happened, and they remember watching it on the news. You know, when JFK was assassinated. You know, there's things that happen. Now, luckily, we're not like the kids nowadays who, you know, lose an entire year of school and weren't allowed to be around humans. We had it a lot easier. But it's, yeah. So where were you guys on September 11th?
Mm-hmm. And what were your thoughts and what stuck out to you the most? And I would even encourage you to tell us of what stuck out to you the most on September 12th as well. That was a good point, Melissa.
Yeah.
All right. So it's time for the recommendation. So my recommendation this week is...
Tetris on a board.
You didn't even let me get to it. So I bought this puzzle for Joe, and again, it has like some weird funky name, but it's called like Kugum Wooden Block Puzzle Brain Teasers. I think some of these people who write these just like put every keyword into their title.
Yeah.
So, but it is a puzzle with like little pieces, and literally it looks like Tetris on a board. But here's the thing. Joe very rarely ever does like the puzzle part of it, but he takes these pieces and he has designed some like super intricate pictures from these puzzles. I'm like, dude, you're four. I need you to slow down. I mean, I know it's my fault. I keep buying you these educational things, but I need you to just do simple things like put the puzzle together. But I will say it has also been entertaining for me as well, because I won't just lump all of the puzzle pieces on top of the board and put it away. I have to have everything like on the board. So when I'm getting ready to put away, I have my therapeutic moment and play a game of Tetris. On the board. And I have come to find out that it doesn't matter really what way you put, because at first I thought you had to put them all the way the picture was. But no matter how I do it, it always works out that all the pieces fit on the board. So anyway, that was my recommendation. And it's only $8. So it's just a nice little thing to pull out if he's like saying he's bored, eye roll. And that will occupy him again for another 30, 45 minutes just doing stuff. And so for $8, like,
it's worth it.
Have at it, dude. Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I am Messy Bun Mamas.
This is Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
This is Messy Poop.
Messy Buns, you silly.